A disappointing end to the 2022 NFL season for the San Francisco 49ers, falling in the NFC Championship game 31-7. Our immediate reaction, takeaways, we'll give out some game balls in this one. An ugly affair and ending the 49ers season maybe just a little bit too soon. We'll get into all of it on today's edition of Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 6 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 or 25 times your money now on that entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in the live chat here post-game, as we usually do. And unfortunately, this will be the last post-game of this season as the 49ers lose to the Philadelphia Eagles 31-7. And, Croc, really the big takeaway from this game with, you know, how ugly things got at the end of it. The biggest disappointment of it all is we didn't get to see, in the biggest game of the year, we didn't get to see the real San Francisco 49ers team. This game was not the team that was supposed to be on the field for the 49ers. And that's unfortunate because we didn't get to see where this team could go, because this game would have been completely different if not for what happened in the first two series of the game.
Yeah, that was tough. You saw the 49ers kind of come out and Purdy threw, you know, a couple completions, and then all of a sudden he's out the game. And I think that obviously changed the trajectory of the game. We'll talk about the defense and how they played and how that went. But I think it changed their style, and maybe they started to press a little bit. And we saw some of the penalties that it amounted to. We'll talk about the refs a little bit. But ultimately, man, that is tough to kind of watch that game and just know you're kind of helpless. And that was what it felt like.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a helpless feeling at the end. And it felt like the 49ers maybe in some cases didn't do enough to try to counteract the quarterback situation. Croc, how did you feel? Let's start with Kyle Shanahan, because clearly things got away from him in this game and there was penalties everywhere. He's yelling at the refs. He's upset on the sideline. You know, he's got the laminated play card that you almost have to throw away after the first series from your offense, because you can't call plays that are on that sheet once your starting quarterback is hurt, and especially once Josh Johnson goes down and you realize that Brock Purdy's in the game and can't throw. Now, look, it probably wouldn't have mattered, but it just felt weird that until they ran that one wildcat play that Christian McCaffrey just kind of threw to nobody in the middle of the field, they didn't even try to. I mean, he had better plays when he had healthy quarterbacks for Christian McCaffrey to throw the ball. There was nothing else in the playbook that they could have done. Go straight wildcat if your quarterback can't throw the ball. You know, another halfback pass play, run the same play. And I'm sure they had one play practiced during the week that they might try as a trick play. So it's probably easier said than done. But did you feel like there was anything else Kyle Shanahan could have done in this game to not let it get quite as far away from him as it did?
I think as it pertains to Brock Purdy coming back into the game, what we saw was probably the max of what he could do. They tried to have him throwing the ball. It felt like, you know, obviously he couldn't do it, couldn't tough it out, whatever injury it is that he's dealing with. And Kyle Shanahan's hands were tied. I will say this. I think I saw probably the most creative run plays that I've seen him run. There was a lot of creativity with it. Obviously, against a loaded box, they weren't really going anywhere. But That was tough. I felt for Kyle because I understand how that was. I just coached a 7-on-7 game in Houston, and it was very clear that my kids, you know, the coverages I was calling, they didn't quite understand it. And I'm like, all right, effort. We're just going to go man for the rest of this tournament. And I think that's how Kyle felt, where it's just like, well, you got your quarterback out. He can't throw. Effort. We just got to run the ball, and it is what it is.
I found it really fascinating that Kyle, right before the half with Josh Johnson, decided to go for it. And remember, we were critical of Kyle in past halftime scenarios when he kind of sat on the ball a little bit, tried to play keep away, not wanting the other team to get the ball. And this time it seemed like he kind of went for it with Josh Johnson. And then that turned out to be a disaster. And really where the game started to get away was that quick score again at the end of the first half for the Philadelphia Eagles. What'd you think about that decision? Because I actually said to my wife, and it was just my wife and my son and I watching the game, and I said, oh, they're gonna kneel on it, or you know, maybe a halfback draw or something like that. And he came out throwing. And I was like, oh, okay, wait, they're gonna go for it. And then the very next play, Josh Johnson fumbles.
Yeah, I think they had to. There was a lot of time on the clock. A lot of time when we say, oh, man, he's being a little passive right now, there might be like, you know, 1 minute left or a little bit less than a minute, and you still see an opportunity for him to kind of try to get a field goal range. When it's closer to 2 minutes and the opposing team has multiple timeouts, you kind of have to play it more honest, because you run the ball just thinking, hey, we're just going to get out of here. Well, they'll call timeout. Run the ball again, they'll call timeout again. So I think you did have to be a little bit more aggressive in that situation, or at least call it the way that he did, which you got to slant on the first play. And like you said, oh, okay, you're going to be able to get something going here. And then, no, fumble on the next play. And then you like jumped on it but didn't get it, then got it, then tried to get it, then didn't get it, then set up a short touchdown for them. That was a terrible turn of events.
When I say that we didn't get to see the 49ers, really, this wasn't the 49ers team that we expected out there. It was beyond just the quarterback, too, because this was a completely undisciplined team. All of the penalties. And when you look at the penalties there, I think, you can blame the refs and point to the refs. That wasn't the difference in this game. It was, you know, one of those games that felt like it was maybe, especially looking back, it was over before it started. Not quite, but over after the second series of the game. And the refs played a big role in this game. And clearly the referees, I don't think, did a great job in this football game and let the game get away from them at the end, which is something that you have to be able to do, right, in those scrum situations. And knowing that this game's getting heated and there was a lot of stuff happening, they didn't take a very good control of the game. But the 49ers were also extremely undisciplined, more undisciplined than we've seen them all year long. So you can't put it all on the refs. They were, you know, when you're pushing a guy when he's already out of bounds, that's on you. That's not on the refs. So maybe there was some ticky-tack stuff in there, but the 49ers were really bad in that regard too. And I feel like that was a different team than we saw all year. Like, well, maybe they just felt like their backs were against the wall. And I don't know, it just felt like from top to bottom, even aside from quarterback, this was not the team we saw all year.
Well, it was and it wasn't. Again, you talk about being undisciplined, and I think they were kind of pressing a little bit. But on some of them, I have to fault the defense, because you control what you can control, right? Like, that's the biggest thing. I tell my wife that all the time. Control what you can control. And, you know, you see one of the defensive linemen, I think it was McGill, in hands to the face. And it was clear, bro, it was hands in the face. Now, also, on the other side of it, I felt like he was getting held. I felt like it was blatant. And I felt like if you see the hands to the face, how don't you see him blatantly getting held to the point where the lineman is to the side, keeping him from being able to go to the quarterback? So there were things where I felt like maybe weren't going both ways with the calls. I thought it was roughing the passer on the Josh Johnson concussion, where Sue, again, roughing the passer based on how they've called it all year. And you remember Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa was like, when he, I think it was the pick six against the Seahawks, Bosa hit the quarterback, tackled him too hard. And he said, that's the correct call based on how they've called it all year. And with the way that Sue landed on him and the way the quarterback hit the ground with the force in his helmet, I felt like there should have been the flag. I think there were a lot of scenarios of maybe things not going quite the 49ers way. But with the things that they could control, there were several times where they had opportunities to get off the field and you thought they were off the field, and then they threw a flag. And I think that's more so on the 49ers being undisciplined. But just in the sense of how they played, I saw a Cowboy guy, you know, saying, oh, 49ers didn't, you know, look, they got bullied. I'm looking at the box score. It don't look like a team that got bullied to me. It looks like a team without me looking at the penalties. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he completed 15 out of 25 passes for 120 yards. That's not anything earth-shattering. Offensively, they averaged 3.4 yards per carry. That's not earth-shattering. Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown combined had less than 60 yards. Like, that's not – like, I felt like they came to play, but they did these little things that hurt them, and I think it was compounded by 49ers not having a quarterback.
Yeah, the offense kept putting the defense back out on the field, and they were on the field so much in the first half of the game. I want to talk a little bit more about that, Croc, because I think one of the points you made there is really important about how good the defense played there and why this game would have looked a lot different considering the circumstances. Talk a little bit more about Kyle. I want to talk about the thing that set the tempo from the very jump of this game, the non-challenge on the one-handed non-catch from Devontae Smith on the fourth down play on the Eagles' first drive of the football game. And then we'll talk a little bit more about Purdy, give out some game balls here as well for the NFC Championship game. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so fun and it is so easy to play every single day. It is daily fantasy made easy. All you do, you pick 2 to 6 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus those projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch as well. Of course, tons of projections on NFL games. When that NFL season's over, you can still play daily fantasy every stinking day. That's why it's called daily fantasy at Prize Picks. Major League Baseball is going to be getting going every day all summer long. NBA, PGA Golf, NHL Hockey, College Hoops. The tourney is going to be coming up here pretty soon as we exit winter and head toward the spring. Soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, you name it, you can find projections at Prize Picks. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50 more to play with. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Of course, with the season over now for you 49ers fans, you know what happens next? Yeah, it's draft season, right? So Locked On is heading to the Senior Bowl. Get inside analysis from the hosts of that cover the NFL's next generation in college and find out which NFL draft boards these players will be climbing, all in one location. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL Draft for nightly live shows from the Senior Bowl. I know Croc's going to be at the Senior Bowl Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week. We'll have some live shows there as well. And all of it will be happening 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, Locked On NFL Draft. And I'm sure every single team's coverage. And of course, we're going to start looking at some prospects as well for the 49ers, who do have a whole bunch of draft picks, just not many of them early. All right, Croc. We're not quite ready yet to turn that page into next season. Start looking draft, start looking free agency. It's a really important offseason for the 49ers. This game very, very early had a weird feel with that first drive of the game. A 4th-and-3, super aggressive Nick Sirianni going for it. And the Niners had it played really well. Had Jalen Hurts flushed out of the pocket. Had him, there's nowhere to go for him to run and get the first down. But nobody's really bearing down on him, so he had enough time to find somebody. Devontae Smith broke open and made what looked like a miraculous one-handed catch. And then upon replay, realizing later, after the commercial break, that it indeed was not a catch. But they went to the line, and props to the Eagles and Nick Sirianni. It was a really smart play by them to rush to the line and run another play. So Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers could not challenge that play. So how important was that to you? And do you think that Kyle Shanahan could have and should have challenged that play?
When I saw Devontae Smith get up and start doing this with his hands, at first I'm thinking he was celebrating. And then I realized he's telling them, hurry up and get on the ball because I'm not sure if I caught this pass. Yeah. And when you see how difficult of a reception it was, which was a tremendous effort by him, I would think that red flag is coming out, even if you don't think you have to look. Because why is he so pressed? Now, if he would have gotten up and was just like, okay, everything is good, and all right, maybe there's a chance you don't look at the right replays to see if you need to challenge it. But with the sense of urgency that he had, telling everybody, hurry up, let's go, I thought that there was no way a red flag didn't come out by the 49ers. And obviously, that was a missed opportunity.
It's really hard because obviously in hindsight, it's easy to say, well, of course they should have challenged it. And maybe they should have thrown the challenge flag anyway, because, you know, Kyle Shanahan doesn't necessarily utilize a lot of his timeouts at the end of first halves anyways. And, you know, those first half timeouts can be throwaways. It's not a big deal if you waste an early timeout. But it was really just bad luck because there was no view where someone from the booth could have radioed down to Kyle, or for Kyle to have seen it. For us who are watching the game live on the broadcast, for anybody who's there in the stadium, I mean, there was no good view of that. And so it took those replays, and there was no reason for Kyle to confidently throw a challenge flag. The only reason Kyle Shanahan would have thrown a challenge flag there was like, ah, just in case, let's see it, right? Well, and so that's the hard part, because they never showed a good angle. Like, the back angle looked like he caught the ball. If the live broadcast view of the play would have been the front angle, maybe we would have seen something that looked like maybe something you could challenge. But there was no reason for them to throw the challenge flag except for, well, let's just see, because maybe he didn't catch it, because there was no view that showed that it wasn't a catch.
I agree. But again, it's the sense of urgency from Smith.
Right.
I got to say, something's not right with this. And I think that was a big enough play in the sense of, even if you, okay, let's say you're wrong, it was a tremendous effort by him. All right, we lose a timeout in the first half. But if you're right, I mean, you take points off the board and you have good field position. And at that time, you still have Brock Purdy in the game. So I think that was pivotal. I think it was a big enough opportunity to throw that challenge flag solely based on Smith's reaction.
I've seen a lot on social media, and I'm seeing a lot of it now here in the chat as well, about Brock Purdy. And here's one from Ramon and Emily Jones. I don't know if this is Emily or Ramon in the chat here, but saying Purdy is soft and a joke. And I saw somebody earlier say that lost a lot of respect for Brock Purdy, that, you know, he should have been able to come back in the game and play, or whatever it is, and play through this pain. I think it's asinine. It's insane. You know, if he can't throw the ball, like if he can't grip the football, and I'm pretty sure there's that slow-mo where it showed Brock Purdy talking to Kyle Shanahan. And I think he said, you could read his lips, he's like, I can't grip the ball. And that was right before Josh Johnson went onto the field. And so I think, you know, it's an elbow thing. It's a nerve thing. We'll find out more about what the actual injury is, and we'll talk a lot about that on tomorrow's show and the future of Brock Purdy. And hopefully it's good news. It's not something like, you know, I mean, Tommy, I have no idea what it could be. I'm not speculating what it is. But, I mean, if he has to have Tommy John surgery, that knocks baseball players out for a full season. And sometimes it's like an 18-month recovery process. We wouldn't be talking about Purdy playing until 2024 maybe, you know, depending on what kind of an injury it is. But, I mean, Croc, I don't know. Are you with me? You think it's crazy people calling Purdy soft, as if you should go out there and play if you can't throw? And I think a lot of it is because he came back onto the field. It's like, oh, well, why weren't you out there the whole time?
I think that's more of a fan reaction to that, and more of an emotional, right? I mean, your team just lost, and the Eagles played a terrific game. Shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think we've kind of congratulated them on moving on. And I know a lot of people weren't excited about seeing Sirianni, or they wanted to just stick it to him because of his cockiness. But, you know, I like that. He coaches with a lot of confidence. We're talking about all the things that the 49ers did wrong. But, man, he did a lot right, going for it on fourth down multiple times in their own territory as well. So shout out to them. But as it pertains to Brock Purdy, I feel if he could have thrown the ball, he would have thrown it, especially when he came back in. And he just couldn't.
I mean, it was obvious.
I'm not knocking him. I don't think that's he's being soft moment. Not that.
I mean, it's obvious. He couldn't throw the ball, right? Like, otherwise, they would have done something. And it was, you know, he tossed a couple of screen passes because, you know, it's just something that you can get the ball out and you don't have to put anything on it. By the way, talking about Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy, and I got to shout out the 49ers defense. You talked about Jalen Hurts. He was 15 of 25 for 121 yards passing. Brock Purdy he was 4 for 4 for 23 yards. Jalen Hurts didn't even have 100 more passing yards than Brock Purdy in that game, and Brock Purdy attempted 4 passes. So it's like the 49ers defense, aside from all the penalties, was doing really good, and they were keeping the 49ers in there. And when I saw that run from Christian McCaffrey, which was his best run of the season, in my opinion, by far, that was a beastly run. And that was so important. It tied the game at 7-7. The way the defense was playing, the 49ers rolling down there and scoring, even with Brock Purdy out of the game, I started to feel really good about that football game. And if the 49ers offense could have done anything in this game, didn't turn the ball over at the beginning of the half, I think it would have been a much different football game, even with Josh Johnson in there, because the defense came to play, and the Philadelphia Eagles did not do much on offense at all, but unfortunately they didn't have to. Like, you look at 31 points and you look at the numbers that they put up, which were just, I don't know, they didn't do anything. They especially didn't do anything in the passing game, and it was just those third downs and those back-breaking plays where they kept drives going, and then the penalties started to roll in, and then you realize the offense was screwed and wasn't going to do anything, and sort of the dam broke on the 49ers. But Their first touchdown shouldn't have been. And aside from that, the Eagles didn't do a lot against this 49ers defense. And so that's what was unfortunate, is we never got to see how cool this game could have potentially been, because all the 49ers needed was just somewhat competent quarterback play, and this game would have been much, much closer.
You know, I think looking at it from the 49ers perspective, right, you talk about the first touchdown. Oh, man, should have challenged it. You look at the second one, I think they caught like three penalties on the 49ers defense, kind of aiding a touchdown drive. And then you look at the third one, Josh Johnson fumbled the ball, setting up short field. So if you are the 49ers, you are looking at those three situations and saying, man, like, these are things that we haven't really done throughout this season. And you did it in the most inopportune time to have those things kind of arise. And I think, you know, I see, you know, whether it's the chat or people on social media, they're looking at this, and I don't know, it's just a weird game for the 49ers, and one that I didn't see coming. But again, when you look at situation with the quarterback getting and how he got hit, and I saw, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, that was ugly. You know, like, and then that's always my worry, you know, when you see someone, a quarterback, get hit like that. I hope it's not too bad, but it definitely just, you know, really kind of ruined the rest of the game for the 49ers. Real quick, how confident were you in Josh Johnson? Because I kind of tweeted out that if you have to go to your fourth string quarterback, that he's probably the most ideal fourth string quarterback that you can have, based on just experience playing the multiple offenses. I've seen him come in other games, like for other teams. Remember last year against the New York Jets, came in through for like 350 yards. So it's like, clearly you can get competent quarterback play out of him. And early on, he was under a lot of pressure, and I'm like, okay, well, it's not gonna matter who's that quarterback if you're blocking like that. But did you say, you know what, it's a disaster with him in there? Or did you think that, you know what, there is a chance that potentially he can help, but he's going to need help from the 49ers offense and their defense, who keeps getting these drives extended through penalties?
Well, and that's what I was saying. Like, I before that, really before the fumble, right before the end of the half, I thought this is, and he hit a nice little slant to, was it Debo or somebody right before that play too, on the first play of that drive with a minute and a half left before the half. And after the Christian McCaffrey touchdown, and it was like, yeah, this is doable. This is doable with Brock Purdy, because I was that confident in what the defense was going to do, and that this game could at least be close and be within a score, you know, or maybe two scores at the end. But, you know, the 49ers would be in a position to still win the game, even with Josh Johnson. He's a veteran NFL quarterback. He's been around a little bit. It wasn't automatically just over at that point. But then it did seem like maybe Josh Johnson, his eyes were like a little too big. You know, it was just like,
that's
maybe
a big moment. Outside of the fumble, did you see, because I see it in the chat, oh, he's terrible, he sucks.
Right.
First of all, again, fourth quarterback to play for the 49ers this year. But outside of the fumble, did you see anything that was like, hey, this guy's terrible? I thought he threw some good passes. He hit one to Kittle. Threw one at Debo. I mean, I thought he was throwing fine.
Yeah, no, I thought he was going to be, I thought he was going to be just fine. He was 7 of 13 for 74 yards. His quarterback rating was right there with Jalen Hurts. And it's funny because you put Josh Johnson and Brock Purdy together, and it's pretty much the numbers that Jalen Hurts had in this game. The 49ers could have won, but then he got hurt, and then their offense was just this weird non-functional thing. And the Eagles knew they couldn't throw the ball, had everybody in the box, no respect for anybody to actually throw the ball at all. And it just got completely away. Then the penalties on the other side of the ball for the 49ers, you just can't have those and give teams three free first downs when you should have been off the field a long time ago. And you obviously spiraled from there, and things really got away from him. But it could have been doable, and I thought it was doable there in the first half after the Christian McCaffrey touchdown. But then it felt like, oof, this has got it. Some things really got to bounce your way and go right. And I think that's where you credit the Philadelphia Eagles, because they played a really clean game and they did not shoot themselves in the foot, you know. Correct. And they got some luck on their side for sure with what happened with the 49ers quarterback and what happened with the non-catch that ended up on a touchdown drive on the first drive of the game, right? But they also didn't commit a bunch of penalties, didn't turn the ball over a whole bunch. And they played pretty good. They played really good defense against the 49ers. And, you know, obviously the situation helped them a little bit, but you got to credit the Eagles for not shooting themselves in the foot, allowing the 49ers to make the mistakes and just getting out of there with a win and a pretty easy win.
And when the 49ers did make the mistakes, they did a really good job of capitalizing off of that with touchdowns, not just field goals, not just three. It's like, no, we're going to score touchdowns. And that obviously made it extremely difficult for the 49ers.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to give out some game balls next. A couple notes, especially one on Christian McCaffrey that I want to talk about before we get out of here on this unfortunate season-ending edition of Locked On 49ers. This year, the only app you need at the Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. You might want to put all your money on the AFC side of things if you're still a little salty about the Philadelphia Eagles, or maybe you saw something in the Eagles that you think is special and they're going to win the Super Bowl. But we're super excited about our new sports betting partner for the Locked On Network because they are America's number one sports book. That's right, FanDuel. And even better if you're not already a member of FanDuel, because you can download FanDuel right now and you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. Yeah, no sweat first bet. You'll be up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line, the point spreads, who will score a touchdown. There's tons of great props, and there's going to be a million Super Bowl props. There's tons of draft props as well. And of course, it's not just about NFL. You can bet on any sport out there at FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, super easy to use. I love the layout of the website. It could not be easier to find all the bets you want, build your own parlays even. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, Croc. Christian McCaffrey. The season is now over, and a lot of people have said a lot of things to me because I said running backs don't matter. I didn't think that the 49ers were going to be able to get value necessarily for the Christian McCaffrey trade. A lot of things had to happen for that to be the case. Now that we sit here and the season is over, I had said that the 49ers would have to get over the hump to really, for that trade to really have been a W for the 49ers. And they fell a game short. They were not able to get past where they already were last year without Christian McCaffrey, right? So that's an unfortunate one. But I tweeted out during the game, that run that Christian McCaffrey made in the first half, I really think that that play really solidified it to me that Christian McCaffrey, that trade for Christian McCaffrey was a win. And one of the big parts of that being a win, and a lot of people will say, oh, we thought it was a win 5 weeks ago, right? Look, the 49ers brought in Christian McCaffrey to do a lot more than win games in December. They wanted to win games in January. They want to be playing in February. Unfortunately, it came up a little bit short. But what Christian McCaffrey's given the 49ers, and in fact, shout out to Nick Wagner of ESPN who covers the 49ers. He had an article that came out yesterday that had a little insight on the trade of landing for Christian McCaffrey to the 49ers. And the exact quote from John Lynch, he said, both Kyle and I, once we realized we were making this trade, was, holy S, that's a lot that we just gave up, right? Which is essentially what our take was right here on the podcast. Like, oh my God, that was a lot. But Christian McCaffrey has given the 49ers value on that. And a lot of it is because he's so much more than a running back. And I thought he was going to be a little bit more, even more than that today and be some of a quarterback. But I want to give my first game ball out to Christian McCaffrey. He made the biggest play of the game for the 49ers, their only touchdown. And what he's done for the 49ers has been awesome. He's been even better than I expected. George Kittle said he's been even better than he expected, and he already expected him to be great. John Lynch had talked about how he was so good at taking coaching that he actually even got better after he came to the 49ers. So it was really fun to watch Christian McCaffrey this year. I think that touchdown run was really the epitome of how hard he plays, how much it matters to him, which I think was really a huge aspect of how valuable Christian McCaffrey is. So I just want to give the first game ball in this game to Christian McCaffrey. And I think it's fair to say that that was a W trade, and anything can happen. They got to start paying him a lot. He might even ask for a raise this offseason because he was so good for the 49ers, right? But he's such a great fit for Kyle Shanahan and the offense. And so, I'll say that's a W for the 49ers on that trade, even though we don't know what those draft picks are going to be yet. They got a lot of comp picks coming. The 49ers are going to be okay even without those picks.
Yeah. You see the impact clearly, and then, you kind of add on to the fact that Elijah Mitchell, he didn't play in that game. And that was kind of the thing for me where I'm like, hey, man, you know, you give up a lot and you have this guy that you got in the sixth round that's a really good back. I think Elijah Mitchell is really good, but he just can't stay healthy. So you do need something that is more reliable, more dependable. And obviously Christian McCaffrey is able to do it in more than one way, whether it's running the ball, carrying the ball, when just faking to him or when he goes in motion, the attention that the defense puts on, like, oh, man, where is McCaffrey going? I think a lot of that definitely turned this into a win. Now, the other part of it that you mentioned when it happened was, well, you got to stay healthy as well. And, you know, that's a big part of it. But right now, obviously, like, what he does and the element that he adds to the 49ers offense is definitely tremendous. I got to give my first game ball to Treverius Ward. And, you know, they tested him several times vertically down the field. There was one that he was beat early on, and I kind of got on Twitter and was like, dude, you can't do that. When you're off coverage in your back pedal and you have to turn and run with a receiver that's screaming down the field at you, you cannot turn and run while looking at the quarterback. It's going to slow you down, and it's going to give the receiver steps on you, which is exactly what happened. So that was definitely not ideal, but the ideal part, it was incomplete. Coach Tim McDonald, he's my old coach, he said, long foul ball. That's what he calls those, long foul balls. But aside from that, man, he was challenging receivers vertically down the field, knocking passes away. And, you know, we look at these numbers again. Jalen Hurts, he attempted 25 passes for 121 yards. And I think a big part of that was, or limiting the explosive plays, was the play of Treverius Ward, who they tested several times.
I loved the play from Treverius Ward. I mean, the 49ers did a great job covering. If look at it this way, Croc, if last Friday when we were doing our last Keys to Victory podcast and I said, hey, Croc, I looked into the future. Jalen Hurts is going to throw for 121 yards, 15 completions. Devontae Smith, 2 catches for 36. One of them shouldn't even have been a catch. And then A.J. Brown on 8 targets has 4 catches for 28. You would have said that's an easy 49ers dub, right?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah.
So they did a good job. And we didn't even mention D'Amador Lenore, but right. So I guess I'll kind of lump the two corners in because I thought for the most part, like, they played well. And you got to remember too, one big thing in this game, the 49ers were doing this kind of rush to kind of contain Jalen Hurts. And I thought they did a really good job of that. But it also, because of the way that they did it, he had more time to throw the ball. And the 49ers still did a good job of covering downfield.
Right. Covering when there was a lot of time. I was really impressed by that. It's a good call. Oh, and by the way, Croc, the other big thing with Christian McCaffrey is he stayed healthy. Like, that's the number one thing. Like, right. He stayed healthy, and hopefully that continues in the next year. Like, can he have another 17-plus playoff run games healthy next year? That'll be really important for the value, man, that that Christian McCaffrey provides to this football team. I might be out. I might be out of game balls, to be honest, Croc. There was a lot of ugly in this football game.
D'Amico Ryans, again, in the sense of – The game that he called, and again, there were a couple runs by the running backs that went for touchdowns between Miles Sanders had a couple of shorter ones. Yeah, Boston Scott, he had a touchdown as well. But I thought he gave the 49ers a chance. Now, again, the tough part, and maybe you could put this on D'Amico Ryans, was just the undisciplined play, the penalties that extended drives for the Philadelphia Eagles. But overall, just in the sense of the game plan, I think he coached his last game as a 49er.
Sounds like maybe the Houston Texans are the next landing spot for D'Amico Ryans. If so, he did a fantastic job with the 49ers. And he deserves all the credit he gets for that unit. It was hard for me to give the coaching any game balls just because of the penalties. And so when I see penalties, it's not always on the coaches, but I trace it back to the coaches. And, obviously, they were up against the wall. It was a kind of a no-win situation for both Kyle Shanahan and D'Amico Ryans in this game because of the hand they were dealt with, what was going on in the football field. But really unacceptable the way the 49ers, all the penalties the 49ers had. Even if you take out the ones that you think shouldn't have been penalties, then the refs were doing a bad job. Even still, it was a terrible job by them, undisciplined. And yeah. So that was frustrating. That was frustrating.
Yeah. And again, I think a lot of it was them pressing. And the 49ers, especially the defense – typically, they're not in situations where they have to press, right? Where they feel right. Like, man, it's really on us to really make a play because the offense is just spiraling, right? Like, they can't do anything offensively. So we really got to do something defensively. And I think that kind of led to a little bit of maybe frustration, but clearly the 49ers just kind of falling off the train tracks defensively with the flags that where I felt like a little uncharacteristic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a fine line too, because Drake Greenlaw and Talanoa Hufanga were flying around early in that game, and it was fun to watch. But there's a fine line between playing aggressive, playing fast, and being reckless. And it turned out that they made some reckless plays too. They ended up killing them. And so you don't want to take the aggressiveness out for those players. But we've seen all year long that there's been a few plays here and there where they would make a mistake. And it seems like they're all together, and they just kept making mistake after mistake in this game. And it all compounded with what was already going on with the offense that kept giving the Eagles the ball back, and the defense was just on the field so much.
We have someone in the chat, and they said this is the saddest loss. This loss was worse than the Seattle NFC Championship game. I don't think so at all. Because once you lost Brock Purdy in the first quarter, you knew your chances of winning drastically dropped. So just from that standpoint, you're just kind of watching the game to see, can you do something to potentially give us confidence that you can win? And they couldn't do that. Those other games between last year against the Rams where you blew a 10-point lead, the Seahawks game where you threw an interception on, you know, your last offensive play, like, that hurt a lot more, because you still, regardless of what happened, like, the guys on the field, you expected to pull out a win. This game, you knew you were behind the eight ball once Purdy went down, so it didn't hurt at all. It almost felt like, I don't want to compare it to losing anyone, but just seeing something coming, knowing somebody's going through something, you know, it's like, you kind of prepare yourself mentally that it's not going to last too much longer. Like, it felt more like that than, like, something that happened suddenly.
Yeah, it was much less of a heartbreaker just because of how it was obvious. It was like, oh, no, you lose your quarterback, you might be screwed. And you knew that from the second series of the football game. So,
well, you know that heading to starting the season, right? It's like, typically, you lose a starting quarterback, you're pretty much done. Well, they lost a starting quarterback, then they had another one that played like a starter, obviously Jimmy Garoppolo. So it was like, oh, we're good. And then you lose him, and when he goes down, you're like, damn, we're done. Yeah. And then the other guy plays, and you're like, oh, we're good. And then he goes down, and you're like, okay. Like, there's no way now.
Time of possession. 30, almost 38 minutes for the Eagles to 22 and a half minutes for the 49ers. Like, that was the story of the game right there. Like, if your offense is playing better, your defense isn't on the field as much, maybe your head's in the game better, they're not making penalties, and so you're just not going to win games like that when you only possess the ball 22 minutes of the football game. So, unfortunate one. You hate to see the season end that way. The 49ers, it was amazing the run they were making with their third quarterback to start the year. Then he gets hurt, and it turns out they did not have any more magic behind him. And even if they could have, that guy got hurt too. So unbelievable. Christian McCaffrey took back snaps in the game.
Yeah, I do want to say something to the faithful, man. I know a lot of people are really frustrated by this loss, and it's tough. I agree. Extremely difficult loss to take. But, you know, I've said it before. I like watching good teams. I like seeing my team go far. And I don't think that because you don't win at all, it's just this huge failure of a season. It is January 29th, and we're still talking about a 49ers game that just happened. And that was the last one. Yep. But to me, they gave you plenty throughout this season to be excited about, cheer about. We saw our numbers and what those look like, especially over the last couple weeks. And that is, as a fan, I definitely prefer that over some of these teams that just never had a chance. And at times, I think a lot of people felt like that about this 49ers team at different times over the last couple of years. But overall, man, they gave y'all plenty to be kind of to cheer for and watch and be excited for it and have these moments and wake up today on the 29th with these, like, butterflies, right? Like, just like this level of excitement. Yeah. This late in the year. So, obviously, the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. You didn't get that, but It was a dope season to watch how the 49ers played.
It was an awesome season. And only one team that makes the playoffs doesn't go home disappointed. Unfortunately, that team won't be the 49ers this year. You feel disappointed, of course, but you got to beat the Seahawks in the playoffs, got to beat the Cowboys in the playoffs. Playing in NFC championship games is awesome. And the 49ers are good, and they're going to continue to be good. So I can't wait for next year as well. I see a lot of questions about quarterback and Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo and D'Amico Ryans and tons of offseason stuff. Of course, we'll be here with you every day as we work through the regular season. We'll be here with you every day through the offseason as well. And so we will talk about all of those things, more about this game and closing the book on the 2022 season as well tomorrow. Maybe a full-on therapy session tomorrow, as I know some folks out there need it. But I really appreciate all of you listeners and watchers. If you check us out on YouTube all season long, Croc and I will be back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.